into the book of Ephesians. And you ought to know where that's located by now. I don't know exactly how long. I could look back in my notes and find out when I started, but it's over 3 years ago that we started in the first chapter. And of course, a lot of things and teachings have transpired since that time. But the book of Ephesians in chapter 4. And last week we said we were beginning a new section. And we have divided it up for outline sake, for study sake, and into these two sections. And this last section is verses 17 through the end of the chapter, verse 32. We said the whole chapter deals with our walk, for he starts out beseeching us that we walk worthy of the calling wherewith we've been called, the vocation wherewith we've been called. So the whole chapter is dealing with our walk, and he begins to build on that and tell how that we're to walk in lowliness and in gentle spirit and in forgiveness and long suffering and bearing one another in love and on and on and on. Then he goes into the gifts that we've been given, and our walk ought to be as members of the Lord's church and using those gifts that He's given to us to bring about the edifying, the building up of the body, bring about the maturity of the body, bringing us to an adult state in the Lord Jesus Christ. We say, and I think we used the term last week concerning verses 17 through 32, this now concerning our walk gets down to where the rubber meets the road. However, how can you say that the rubber doesn't meet the road when we're talking about walking in lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love? Those are things that have direct application to our everyday lives and a manner we ought to walk in. But this is where we might say it gets really tough. Not that walking in lowliness and meekness and long-suffering and those things aren't tough, because sometimes they are. But he starts out in verse 17 by saying, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord." This I'm saying, but I'm saying it as it's in the Lord, "that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." We are not to walk as the unsaved. We're going to be building on, we're not to walk after the past life, our former life before we were saved. That's foreign to what a child of God is. It's not the nature of a child of God. It's the nature of the old man. It's the nature of those who are not born again. And so he tells us that we ought not to walk according to that. Last week we looked at the thought in that he says, "Henceforth walk not as other Gentiles in the vanity of their mind." Basically, their mind is empty of any truth concerning God, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. They're devoid. They're void of any truth of the Word of God. You see, and we spent the week on that. This week we go on with verse 18, in which he says, "Having the understanding darkness. These Gentiles, these other Gentiles, these unsaved folks, he says, they have, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So the first thing we want to deal with today is having the understanding darkened. What does it mean? Having the understanding darkened. Well, these are unsaved people. Other Gentiles are unsaved people. We could say, as the world walks, they're walking the vanity of their mind. They're void of any truth. They're empty of any truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. So their understanding of those things, of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, is darkened. We, this morning, just at the close of Sunday school, and we may go into it next week, and it looked like we might need to, talking about skeptics out there, and there are people that we meet all the time that they're skeptic as to what's contained in this book. They're skeptical as to this even being the Word of God. You see, because their understanding is darkened. The faculty of understanding the things of God, which that's the most important thing in life. If you go through life and you miss God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, you've missed everything. You can have all the wisdom and the knowledge of this world, and if you are not wise towards God and His Son, Jesus Christ, you're not wise at all. In fact, the Scripture says you're a fool. You're a foolish man. So the faculty of their understanding is covered over with darkness. There's no light in it. It's darkness. Obviously, this is not talking about natural understanding. There are men that all around us who are not saved, who have understanding in great and deep things. I mean, look at just down the road at NASA and all those minds that work there, are employed there. I mean, they put you and I to shame. But their understanding is of natural things. So obviously, it's not talking about the natural understanding, but we're talking about the spiritual understanding, the spiritual things, the things of God. The things which are the most important things in life, as we said. The things of God. These that have their understanding darkened, they're living in darkness. And darkness, shall we say, dwells in them. Turn with me to the book of Acts. The book of Acts. And look with me here at chapter 26. Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. Where we read, and this is, you understand, is the Apostle Paul giving his testimony before kings, governors. You see, back in Matthew chapter 10, they'd be brought before kings, You see? He's giving his testimony before kings of his salvation and accounting his salvation experience and what the Lord Jesus Christ said to him. And among other things, the Lord Jesus Christ said to him in verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Jesus said this concerning the Gentiles, that Paul was his chosen one to go before the Gentiles, to open their eyes that they might see, to give light in their darkness. There, Jesus testifying that they are in darkness. Those without Him are in darkness, and they need one to bring the light of the gospel to them and share it with them. Of course, we can't command the light to shine, but God can, and God does on those whom He pleases as we preach the gospel. He commands the light to shine, and they go, I see it. Yeah. Amen. And I do that occasionally in my study, you know. I'm struggling on, and then all of a sudden, a light goes on. I see it. It's great. It's glorious. You see, the Lord gave imparted truth unto His servant. So, turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and this was the testimony of John by the Holy Spirit, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 4, in Him was life, in the Word was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. The light was shining in the darkness, but notice the next phrase. And the darkness comprehended it not. That word comprehended means did not lay hold of it. In other words, the light came. The gospel is the light of Jesus Christ. It is preached. And why don't men receive the light? Because they don't lay hold of it. They don't lay hold of it. They comprehend it. The darkness comprehends it not. And they go on in their dark ways. And that, turn with me to chapter 3. This is what Jesus said to Nicodemus in the third chapter of the book of John. In verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. What did we read back there in verse 5 of chapter 1? Light shone in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. Here's why the darkness did not lay hold of it. Why the darkness did not comprehend it. And men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They just did not lay hold of the light. They do not lay hold of the gospel because they love the darkness. They love their evil deeds. They're going to hang on to it. You ever hear someone say, well, if I became a Christian, I'd have to give up this and give up that and give up the other thing? What are they talking about? I like what I do. I don't want to give it up. See? Well, I didn't want to give it up either until the light shone.
in my dark heart and dispelled the darkness. You see, God commanded that light to shine, and it dispelled the darkness. There was, and then all I could do was hold on to it. You know?
What a glorious revelation that was. But men are in darkness, and they do not lay hold of the light because they're in darkness, because they love the evil that they do. Turn with me to the book of First Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, and this just tells us the, if you please, the crux of the whole matter. Well, so did them being in darkness and loving their evil deeds is the crux of the whole matter. Verse 14 says, but the natural man, that's those that are in darkness. Those that are in darkness, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why won't they? For they are foolishness unto him. Oh, chapter 1. The preaching of the gospel to them is foolishness. They think we're fools. When in reality, they're the fool. They're the fool to deny God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the creator of all that is in the earth, all that is in the heavens. Even they owe their very being, their very existence to God, but they deny Him. For they are foolishness unto Him, neither can he know them. He cannot know them because they are spiritually discerned. Without the working power of God, they have no mind to discern those things. They have no understanding. They have no ability to discern those things. And you and I didn't either. I, for many years, was a professing Christian, all the while serving the deeds of the flesh and the desires of the flesh, until that day when God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, and I knew my sinful condition before Him, and I knew that I was going to go to hell unless He'd give me belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, having died for my sins. So, they have no ability to understand. They have no ability to discern without God working in their life. They are in darkness. So, now, turn with me to the book of Ephesians again, in chapter 1, in verse 18. So, he says to those Ephesians, to the church at Ephesus, to the saved folks in the church at Ephesus, to the saved here in Grace Baptist Church today, he says in verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. You see, that was God commanding the light to shine. You were enlightened. You were in darkness, is what he said there in that verse to the Ephesians. And says to you and I, they were in darkness. We were in darkness. But your eyes have been enlightened. You've had the light. And you see that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. We know those things. We understand those things. We see those things. Praise God, He enlightened my eyes. He gave me light to see Jesus Christ, the glorious Redeemer, and all the promises that dwell in Him. What was it He said in chapter 2? He said, verse 7, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Listen, there's a glory that awaits us that surpasses anything here on earth. Are we looking for it? Are we expecting it? We have eyes to see it. That is, as we talked about this morning, it is that joy which is unspeakable and full of glory. The Lord Jesus Christ and His appearing and our going to be eternally with Him. Chapter 5 of this book of Ephesians. In verse 8 He said, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now you're enlightened. Ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." See, when we get in chapter 5, He continues our walk. Our walk is important. Just as He said in Ephesians 2:10. He said, "For we are His workmanship," that is, salvation, everything in us and everything about salvation was the work of God. We had nothing to do with it. We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. You see, somebody says, "Well, I just don't know why He saved me." Well, He saved you to good works. That's my purpose. That's your purpose. You want to know God's purpose for your life? Good works, if you're a child of God. We're going to be dealing with down a few verses. It's going to take us a couple weeks to get there. We're going to be dealing with a walk in righteousness and holiness. You see, we're created after His likeness, after His image, which is one of righteousness and holiness. That's those good works that we're to be walking in. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. The book of 1 Thessalonians. It's in chapter 5. And look with me here at verse 4. "But ye, brethren," is that you? Well, yeah, he was writing it to the church at Thessalonica. But are you a brethren? Are you a brother? Are you a brother to the Apostle Paul? Is Jesus a friend? Is he closer than a brother? You? "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief." We're not in darkness any longer. So what's he telling the Thessalonians? You're all the children of light. Oh, if you're the children of a child of God, if you're in Christ Jesus, you're a child of light. And he says, "And the children of the day, we are not of the night." In other words, we're not of darkness. Nor of darkness. "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Let us walk as children of the light." Awake
in the daytime. We got many sleepy Christians today. Am I one? Are you one?
You say, what's a sleepy Christian? Well,
they're walking half asleep. Half asleep to the things of God. Half asleep to the things of service to God. You know, they delight in the fact that they're a child of God, and they got to be a member of the Lord's church, but don't ask me to do anything. I just want to sit back here and sleep. Just don't wake me up. Leave me alone. Don't bother me. I don't want to get in the mix of the battle. I just soon sleep over here. Old Testament, Proverbs especially, has much to say about he that slumbereth. We have slumbering Christians. Slothful Christians. You see, we're not to be slothful Christians. We're not to be slumbering Christians. We're to be active Christians, as though we're awake. Active in the work of the Lord. In His service. To Him. Let's go back to the Old Testament. I like the Old Testament. I really, really like the Psalms. I mean, the Psalms are full of great truths for us and application, as is the Proverbs, as is the whole Word of God. I just find the whole Word of God very beneficial. As we've been going through Ezekiel and the applications we've been able to draw from the study of Ezekiel, haven't they been great? Haven't they been wonderful? I mean, they reproved and rebuked and exhorted and encouraged all along the way. So the whole reading and study of the Word of God is fruitful and beneficial to us as the children of God. Turn Psalms chapter 11. Psalms chapter 11, and I wrote something down wrong here. I got verse 10, and that's not right. I just wonder if that was supposed to have been 111. Let me take a peek quick. If not, we'll have to bypass that. Yeah. That'll fit whether that was the one I wanted or not. Psalms 111, verse 10. I just, my finger got lazy and left off a one, I guess. Psalms 111 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. You see, who has a good understanding? Who has a good understanding of God? Who has a good understanding of the Lord and His ways? They that have the salad bar religion. They that pick and choose what they like. Is that what it said? No, it said that do all. They do all His commandments. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. So all of us that do His commandments. Just to show you how I wasn't washed up, Brother Ron. What does James say about doing His commandments? If we leave off in one, we're guilty of breaking them all. We're guilty of the whole law. So we're to do all His commandments.
all that do His commandments. They have a good understanding. His praise endureth forever. You want to praise the Lord? Do you? Do you want to praise the Lord? Do His commandments. Wow. That's a big order. I don't know about you, but it's a big order for me. You see, too many times I let this flesh get in the way. I thank the Lord that there's forgiveness with Him. I thank the Lord that when I see that and I know that, and I'll be honest and admit it, that I can take it to Him and know that I'm forgiven. Turn with me to Psalms 119. And this is a good psalm. Just ask Brother Crowder. He's been preaching through this psalm over at this 119th psalm over at the Bible Baptist Church. I think he's been doing it for a long time. Well, a couple times he's come over here and preached a couple messages from that psalms. So he's been doing it for maybe close to a couple years now. And he's about as far as verse 59, I think, something like that. Anyhow, we want verse 34 today. Psalms 119 and verse 34. And we read here, "Give me understanding." Well, where's that understanding come from? Back there, Psalms 110 verse 10 or 111 verse 10. Who has a good understanding? All that do His commandments. Oh, so the psalmist says, "Give me understanding." Well, do His commandments, and you'll have it. "Give me understanding, and I shall keep Thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Give me understanding, and I shall keep Thy law." So you understand why he said, a good understanding have they, all they that do His commandments. You see? Because the Lord has given them understanding. Understanding of Him, and of His justice, of His righteousness, of His holiness. And isn't that what we see in the Word of God? Isn't that what we see in His commandments here? We see His justice. We see His righteousness. We see the holiness of God. And so we see ourselves as sinful creatures. And so we strive and seek to do His commandments. And therein we have a good understanding when we do that. Turn with me to the book of Luke in closing. The book of Luke, in chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. In verse 45. "Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures." Before that he said, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, Moses and the prophets. Moses and the prophets.
You mean to tell me they didn't have an understanding of Moses and the prophets before that? Oh, they had little bits and pieces. And they knew some things. But some things concerning Christ, even things that Christ had told them about his death, burial, and resurrection, they didn't comprehend. They didn't fully lay hold of and understand. Until Jesus opened their understanding. And then they understood. Then they understood the Scriptures.
Do you have an understanding? Do you have an understanding of the Scriptures? Do you have an understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ and the things of God? Has He opened your understanding? If you have an understanding, He's opened your understanding. Shall we stand? Be dismissed in a word of prayer.